Welcome to the Dork Forest. Jackie and her pals will never bore us. Shameless confessions
about our obsessions
will make us laugh and smile. So let's explore the Dork Forest and dork out for a while.
Hi, it's me, Jackie Cation. Welcome to the Dork Forest. Let's do the credits. Patrick Brady's going to fix this audio and video because that's what he's like. Vilmos still working on the website. He does the Jackie Cation store website. I just had it redone by Promotional Rescue, Melanie VC, but promotionalrescue.com did the new website. Vilmos still does the store website, JackieCationStore.com. All you can go to JackieCation.com and see whatever you'd like. Me doing stand-up, where I'm doing stand-up. Please come out and see live shows. You can see the new special. You can see the new old videos. You can see, you can get merch if you want. There's a Dork Forest t-shirt. There's a new beanie because I have a new joke about bees. And so there'll be a new t-shirt. And for the holidays, you can indeed get yourself t-shirts or hats or anything like that. It is November and December, so I ask that you do not donate to the Dork Forest. Normally, I say donate to the Dork Forest as much as you'd like. But in November and December, take that money and donate locally to a food bank in your neighborhood. So feedingamerica.org is a way that you can look up your local food bank. You just put your zip code in. You could also Google the words food bank and the name of your town. And that's what I recommend you do globally, too, if you're in Australia or Europe or Africa or South America, wherever you are, please. Iceland. I have listeners all over the world, you guys. So Patrick Brady, Mike Rickberg. That's who I forgot. Mike Rickberg wrote and sang the intro song. He will sing the Mexican hat dance at the end of the program. And there's lots of episodes. So feel free to scroll back through dorkforest.com. You could check out my Tumblr account. There is a Facebook group called Dork Forest Rangers. But my Tumblr account has essentially the fan favorites of the shows for the last 18 years. And I don't think it's actually the whole 18 years because the first 3 years were poorly recorded. And so if you go to bandcamp.thedorkforest.com, you can see I curated that first 3 years into 17 of my favorite episodes. There's also a storytelling album on my Bandcamp, and there is just some loose episodes that you can buy for a dollar, I think, that were live. Anyway, a lot of information. Let's get into the show. Hi, and welcome
Hello.
To the Dork Forest.
Welcome home.
Thank you. You're in the garage. I'm in the kitchen.
It's true.
And we meant to do this when I was on the road, but I forgot a decent set of headphones, or I forgot my entire kit.
Right. And I had no time.
Right. And so here we are doing kind of an emergency episode, but not because we're both dorks. We're both total dorks here.
That's right.
It's going to work out.
It's going to work
out. And this is a very, very spoilery episode.
Yes, spoiler alert, we're going to be talking about The Marvels. And if you haven't seen The Marvels, you should go see it. It's delightful.
It is that.
And we're going to be talking about it here. So go see it and then come back and listen to the rest of us.
Right. So 1, 2, 3, we begin. I loved it. I loved
Yay,
it. I loved
me
it.
Too.
I loved it. Yay. It was the Ms. Marvel's family. Well, okay, so let's just start from the beginning. Do you think people have to see Ms. Marvel before they see it? Or
I
WandaVision?
There's a couple of characters. One of the characters is from WandaVision, the
Monica
woman
Rambeau.
Monica Rambeau, who was in the original Captain Marvel as the little girl.
Right.
But she grew up and then she was the agent that we follow in part of the story in the Scarlet Vision, Scarlet Witch series.
TV series.
So, the TV series. And that's where she gets her powers is in that TV series. So if you want to sort of know that, well, we just told you. And so you've got it. That's basically all you really need is.
Right. It feels kind of like Guardians 1.
Right.
Where if you know all the backstory,
I think for character development, you don't really need to see much of that about Monica Rambeau. Okay. However, I think for character development, you probably should see Ms. Marvel, the TV series that introduced the younger girl, the Ms. Marvel character.
Right. Who is Kamala Khan, right?
Yeah, Kamala Khan, right.
And you
would get introduced to her family and her family dynamics and all of that stuff, which is really important in the movie.
Do you think it is important in the movie?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's important to know her a little bit better. I mean, you can kind of get, I think you probably kind of get it, but it's hard for us to know because we saw it. We saw Ms. Marvel.
Right. But I mean, whenever I go to one of these movies and I don't know who someone is, I have essentially, where I could just turn to you and go, who is that?
Yeah, but I don't think that you would have enjoyed this movie as much if you didn't know that character, not from the comics, but from the TV series.
Well, I know that when I saw Guardians of the Galaxy, I barely knew anything about Guardians of the Galaxy.
Right. And we didn't need to know anything about those characters.
Except for that, there's a talking raccoon.
Right.
And Star-Lord, they give you his origin story in the very beginning of Guardians. Yeah. So you don't need to worry about it.
Right, right. And they tell you, in Guardians of the Galaxy, they tell you enough about those characters that you're like, okay, I'm in.
Okay.
So these crazy characters, I get it. Okay. I don't know that they tell you enough about Kamala Khan for you to really understand where she's coming from as a kid.
Okay, because she is a teen superhero.
She's a teen superhero.
And she has one of the bands. She has this thing that her grandmother sent her, but she's also an inhuman, right? Or is she also a... Is she also a mutant? Is she also a celestial?
Well,
what is she?
What
do you know about? Because it goes back and forth, kind of.
When she started, so in the comics, let's go to the comics. When she was introduced, she gets her powers because she gets exposed to the Terrigen Mists.
Right.
Accidentally, because the Inhumans have released it into the atmosphere of the Earth and created a whole bunch of Inhumans. Yeah,
right.
It's a cloud. It's a cloud of green fog.
Oh, it was a green. Oh, that's right. That's right. Someone else put it in the water. That's
A bad guy. I don't know. That's where she gets her powers in the comics, and her powers are different in the comics too. So that's also important to know.
Her
powers in the comics are different than they are in the series.
She's embiggened
in the TV and then in the movies. Oh. She grows and she stretches and grows and in the comics.
Right.
And in the TV series and in the movie, she only creates
she's like Green Lantern hard
light creations. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
She creates solidified light creations that sort of mimic the powers that she has in the comics.
Okay.
So she's like, her superpowers are very different in the comics as they are in the TV series.
Right. They manifest.
So the comics, they introduced this in the comics. They had this whole Inhuman story where they were kind of looked like they were trying to get rid of the mutants. Like they were trying to like split the mutants off and create another mutant thing. And so she was one of these Inhumans that came along, but then they backpedaled on all of that. And then in the comics, they're like, well, you might also actually be a mutant too.
Right.
And so we know in the comics that she has been accepted to Krakoa, which means that she's a mutant because Krakoa can tell.
Right. And Krakoa is the mutant country.
Island.
It's the island country.
Mutant island.
Yeah. But isn't it a sort of a city state, an island country?
Yeah. 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 They've created they've made a nation, but Krakoa itself is the island.
Is a sentient island?
Sentient island.
I don't believe I knew that. All right. And I have read much about that island.
Right.
Does it just sort of like, if somebody non-mutant tries to show up, does it just kind of kick them off the island?
Well, it has a bunch of powers. Like it can open teleport gates from places to itself. And so that's the only way you can get to Krakoa, basically.
There's no cruises.
Right, right. And you can only use those teleport things if you're a mutant.
Okay.
Otherwise, so, you don't.
So she's superhero ambiguous in the comics.
Yes.
But in the MCU, in the TV show,
she gets her powers from the bangle.
Does she only get it from the bangle that her grandmother sent, or did it release the powers? I thought
it seems like it probably just released the powers.
Yeah, and it enhances the powers.
Enhances the powers.
Because now there's two of those bands.
Some such.
Yes. Now there's two bangles. She got the one bangle from her grandmother.
Right.
And then the other bangle is encased in some sort of Jedi tomb off in space.
Yeah,
right?
What did they... I don't remember now what they did with the other bangle in the at the end of the movie.
Oh, so they had both bangles at the end of the movie.
Oh, yeah, so... Now, does she have both of them?
Maybe.
And I don't remember.
Because she clacks them together, remember, at the end of the movie?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So she ends up with both of them.
Right, and so what I know about two bangles like that, aren't they quantum bands?
Yes, they also called them quantum bands, which means that they've sort of taken Ms. Marvel and they have merged her with the comic book version of Quasar.
Right, who was Captain Marvel?
No.
No?
Captain Marvel was Captain Marvel.
Right.
Quasar, but you know what? I'm sorry, I think I'm wrong.
Because right. I think
he had the band. That's right. He was a Kree guy, came to Earth, but then got the bands somehow, and then got his powers from the bands. Right, 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 right.
Right.
That's right. But they also gave him cancer.
Oh, right. They did give him cancer. That's right. And that's how he died of cancer.
That's right.
I think back in the day, they didn't want to have people live of cancer because they thought it was too dark.
Well.
Maybe. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, Jim Starlin wrote this one of the first graphic novels, first Marvel graphic novels, I should say. There were plenty of graphic novels before that. But
okay.
One of the first Marvel graphic novels that was the death of Captain Marvel, in which he dies of cancer.
And is that Chris Claremont, that author?
Jim Starlin.
Oh, Jim Starlin. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So in this, I looked up many things. Mm-hmm. Having to do with the bands. And said that the artifact belonged to her grandmother. Kamala's, its origins, mystical and this is the AV Club article that I'm actually reading from.
Okay. Credit where credit is due.
Right. Tearing down the veil between the MCU and the newer dimension, home of the the clandestines.
What?
Do you know who the clandestines are?
Yes.
Of course you do.
So
yes.
Boy, that's a.
Is that a leap?
That is a leap.
Okay.
That is a very strong leap into Alan Davis, one of Alan Davis's brainchilds in the Marvel universe, and also kind of a deep cut.
Okay.
Because they were never particularly powerful. Alan Davis periodically gets to write like a 12-issue series of it, and. About these characters and their, you know,
and because the newer dimension is, they're not they're nega bands also. Wait a minute.
They're basically rolling a whole bunch of stuff together,
like the Tesseract and the
yeah.
Okay, so MCU does this right where they take
MCU
a bunch of
it, yeah.
Okay, because it says. The place swapping plot device, because every time one of them uses their powers, they switch.
Right.
And
then
there's a nice training montage where they learn how to.
They switch together and
juggle.
It's kind of awesome.
Yeah, it is kind of awesome.
It's kind of awesome. And it sadly doesn't get. It doesn't. That's such a good setup. For something really cool to do later on in an actual battle.
And they do a little bit of it, but
they don't really pay it off
in a big way. They don't, because they do spend a good couple of minutes with a Full Metal Jacket kind of training montage.
Yeah.
And they could have made it bigger, but
they could have made a bigger thing about like, we trained for this. This is what we're gonna do.
But what they the AV Club anyway says that this is the place swapping plot device might have been taken from when Marvel, Captain Marvel, was in the negative zone.
Yes,
and he was able to swap places.
Yes.
With Rick Jones.
That's right. So Rick
who was
Jones.
Yeah.
Rick Jones is this he started out as I can't remember where he started, but I think he started in the Hulk. He was Hulk's kid companion.
Okay, yeah, Hulk, but, the but Avengers, and Captain America.
Joins Avengers, and he's like a sidekick. He's basically a sidekick to everybody in the Marvel Universe.
Sure.
And at one point, he and Captain Marvel, he would be the stand-in for Captain Marvel. And then they could basically swap places. So Rick would go to the negative zone, and Captain Marvel would replace him. And it was a way for Captain Marvel to sort of, like, it was basically a plot device in the comics for that. So yeah, that's where they pulled that from.
Okay, and then they think that it might be a Shazam reference as well. Like they might have even taken it from before Captain Marvel, but they didn't have to. They could
they could just go to
Captain Marvel. Yeah,
the original Marvel comic books kind of did that with Shazam.
Oh right,
Shazam swapped places with that kid. I forget what his name is.
So Negabands.
I remember.
And then they go to Quantum Bands,
right? And they are two different things in the comic books,
right? Pass through many hands, with the bears often taking up the altruistic mantle of protector of the universe.
Right.
And Marvel was briefly among the band's possessors, but they most famously were used by Quasar, aka Wendell Vaughn.
Right.
Okay. And then they were eventually given to Phyla Vell.
Right.
Who called herself. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Go for it.
That she. Well, Wendell Vaughn.
Phyla Vell is Marvel's daughter.
Okay. And she was one of the star children in the last Guardians of the Galaxy.
Yes, she was.
Yeah, she was one of the star children
That's
who joined
right.
Rocket's new incarnation of the Guardians.
That's right.
That's awesome. So I'm glad. To some extent, you guys, I'm reading an article live that's from the AV Club. But I'm getting a second opinion. I mean, but this is all the weird Easter egg kind of stuff.
Right. I mean,
what I kind of love is...
Except it's sort of like because they take such liberties with the comic book stories, which is, by the way, not a bad thing. It sounds like I'm
that you might
criticizing
be against
them,
it,
but I'm not actually. I think one of the things I absolutely love about the Marvel movies is how they take all these different things out of the Marvel universe and mix and match them into new stories, and I absolutely love that. That is one of my favorite things to do about these movies.
I mean, there's, 60 years of comic books that they can grab stuff from?
Yeah.
So they might as well. Because everybody, you know, it's such a collaborative thing making a comic book or making a character like that anyway, that to pick and choose from some of the greatest stories it makes more sense.
Right. Whatever you're doing is causing problems with your audio.
Right. There's a click.
Yeah. It was making your audio drop.
Nobody needs it. Nobody wants it.
Now it works. You're good now.
Okay. And then they also have somebody named Dar-Ben, who was the big bad in this particular. They say that was who that was, who's essentially the Ronin.
Yeah. She's another accuser. Ronin was accuser. Dar-Ben
is the co-leader of the Kree Empire in the 1990s Avengers storyline Operation Galactic Storm. Monica Rambeau, then known as Captain Marvel, was on the team roster along with Quasar Wendell and former Carol Danvers in her post-Cap guise as Binary pitched in as well. That's what was in Operation Galactic Storm.
Right. Okay. So this was a period of time when I wasn't reading a lot of Marvel comics. And so I did not recognize her from that.
Okay, but
I just
knew that she
was another. Yeah, that hammer is sort of the staff of office of the accusers.
And is that a Kree office?
Yes, it's a Kree office.
And the Kree were the ones that the blue people that Captain Marvel was with in the first movie.
Yes. Some of them are blue and some of them are other colors.
The Skrull are green. The Kree are blue.
Right. And the Kree are also other normal human colors.
Oh, they're also white and black and whatever?
Yeah.
Okay.
They're not all blue.
Ooh, the weapon is believed to have this roughly equal in power to Thor's Asgardian hammer, Mjolnir, minus the worthiness.
Right.
So she's there, and then there's a bunch of Kamala tries to name Monica's character.
Right. That was fun.
That was fun.
Because in the comics, she ends up being called Photon.
Okay.
Which is the only word I think in that entire list of things that she doesn't actually get to. it's like every single possible synonym for light. Or light-based powers or whatever, and she never says that word, which was fun for me.
Right. And it says here that Kamala was once called Nightlight. I don't remember that. G. Willow? Yeah, I think that G. Willow Wilson invented that character, right?
Oh, no. Yes, she did, but I think they're talking about in the TV series.
Oh, in the TV series. Oh, somebody tried to call her Nightlight or something.
Right. Okay. Right. Yeah, I think that happened in that one of the first few episodes.
Okay. So, so we get to that's how we get to meet them all. And it's so cool, Nick Fury's in it.
They start swapping places and they're all doing different things, and so we get a fight that takes place in three different places because they're swapping places, they're swapping around and they're taking people with them when they swap, and it's probably one of the coolest action scenes since Ant-Man.
Right. Right, with the making things big and small with the salt pepper shakers.
My all-time favorite Marvel action scene is still the fight inside the briefcase in Ant-Man.
Wow, yeah, that might be one of the. It's easily.
It's so cool.
I do love. I think it might be in Civil War, where Black Widow's on the motorcycle.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That's a pretty great one too.
That's a great one too.
But I think as far as like entertaining for everyone is that briefcase scene.
Because the briefcase scene is so good. So good. But the scene is also very, very good.
Right.
And so Captain Marvel, Carol Danvers is in a fight with the Kree, and Monica is
Oh, she's looking at some sort of anomaly?
Yeah. She's investigating an anomaly, and then Kamala Khan's just in her bedroom.
Right.
And yeah, it turns out when they use their powers at the same time, they start swapping places. And so they start swapping places between, the
space.
Kamala Khan's house, space, the fight in the Kree battleship.
And Goose.
It's awesome.
Yes. And the cat, who is a Flerken, is abandoned at different times, but then they're all brought together,
right?
At one point, and
they sort of figure it out, and they get them all, and they get everybody together.
With and Fury's there too, so
right. and they collect Fury all along the way, and so they end up in Kamala Khan's now utterly destroyed
New
Jersey. Apartment
home, yeah.
Her family,
the family house is gone. Yeah,
and they start experimenting, and that's fun as well.
Now, I would like to jump all the way to the end to ask you something about that house. The house that they end up at the end, is that supposedly for the family? Is that for Kamala Khan's family? Because
I
it feels
so.
Like it's Hawkeye's house or Iron
I'll
Man's house from Endgame or something.
No, it was. The Rambeau house in Louisiana.
Oh, right. It was Monica and her mom's house.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. But her whole family, now Kamala has to what? Switch? And her boyfriend, she's not going to get together. See, that's the thing I liked about.
I don't know what's happening with that.
Yeah, you can't know, I suppose. Yeah. Too soon. It's the end of the movie. So.
Right.
New
right,
movie.
Right.
So, okay, so we'll back up.
Let's back up to the second thing that made us laugh a lot, and which was the singing people.
Oh, right.
Carol Danvers, at some point between 1990 and now, has married the prince of a people of an aquatic race on a planet where they don't speak but sing.
Prince but they Jan sing in English. Of Aladna. Yes, Prince Jan of Aladna is an obscure character from the comics, elevated to MCU appearance. Kelly Sue DeConnick wrote this, and she was a consultant. But Jan was originally engaged as a youth in the book to an Earthling, Lila Cheney, the spacefaring rock star mutant thief.
Right.
Do you know her?
Oh yeah, yeah. Yeah. Oh. She can teleport, but only planetary distances.
Lila? Wow, much like Immortal Man. What good is that?
Exactly.
You know what? She'd be really good for, she should go into the trucking industry. She could move things from planet to planet.
Yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of useful things for her to do. But no, she's a rock star.
She's a rock star? Okay, yeah. So she's... and it isn't Lila from the X-Men who knows things, is it?
No.
Okay.
From X-Factor, you mean.
From X-Factor. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Different Lila.
No, it's not Lila who knows things. It's a different Lila altogether.
Okay, so Jan and Lila didn't want to marry, and Jan asked the visiting Carol to intervene. Her success results in a new complication, as Carol was then expected to marry Jan until her alien ally, Tick, volunteered to take her place in the comics. This is all in the comics. But in the movie, Carol literally marries Jan. On that planet, so she is the princess.
At some point, she is married to him. She says it's a marriage of convenience. It's a political marriage. It turns out, thankfully, he's bilingual, so he can actually speak and not just sing everything, because everybody was singing everything. And I was honestly a tiny bit disappointed that our cast of three were not made to actually sing. I was really, really, really hoping for a musical moment where. Because in musicals, the songs are all about what's going on the inside.
Right.
Like, it's their internal monologues that come out in song, in musicals. Yep.
Oh, right.
And so...
They left it on the table. This was a much shorter... I will say that this was a much shorter movie than a lot of the movies have been.
Yes.
And so...
At just under 2 hours.
Right, which felt perfect, by the way.
Yeah.
And there were scenes like that one that would have been super fun.
Right.
I think it was just long enough, though. Now I wouldn't mind a one shot. I wouldn't mind a one shot.
There needs to be a one shot where they sing their
they
emotions.
Stay overnight. They stay overnight, and then they end up having a couple beers, maybe.
And honestly, they never. So that water, that planet has all the water stolen from it.
Oh, right.
By the creepy guy.
Well, not all of it. A good portion of it.
Yeah, who knows? We don't know how much.
She stopped it. They stopped it.
I don't think they did.
I thought they did.
I don't think they did. I think
she closed it when she slammed them together. She closed all the portals, and that's when Captain Marvel flew and reignited the Kree Sun.
That was later.
No, I know, but it wasn't that much later. Like as they were taking the water up.
I mean, it was. Yeah. But it was probably it was probably in real time, right?
Lady and the Tiger. Lady and the Tiger.
We'll never know.
I like to believe
because they never go back and resolve it in any case.
Well,
so.
We could talk about the Red Skull and Captain America if you want.
That's true. If you want to get to unresolved
unresolved MCU issues. We have a list as long as your arm, Rangers of the Dork Forest.
It's true.
About what one shots we would like to see. The Bechdel? Right. The Bechdel?
Oh yeah. That's the one that
Jane Foster and Pepper Potts.
Jane Foster and Pepper Potts discuss only the technology that Jane Foster
business.
Is working on and business over lunch. And at the end of this short where they work out a deal for the technology where Pepper Potts funds Jane Foster. We pan out and we see that the cafe, the little Italian cafe or French cafe that they're in is called Bechdel's. And that's what I want to write. And that one needs to happen.
Yes, please. And, So they don't end up singing, which is sad, but amazing. But the whole scene is relatively amazing. And then they move on. They go to Earth because they're going to take... What are they going to take from Earth? The sun.
The sun. Yeah, yeah. They need to reignite the sun. So they're going to go and steal the sun. They're going to steal the power out of the Earth's sun to reignite the star around Cree Prime or whatever it's called.
Right, because the first thing they do is they steal the air from the new Skrull homeworld.
Right, right.
Where a lot of Skrulls have settled.
That's right.
And
Carol Danvers realizes that they are picking planets that are important to Carol Danvers. So she was out there helping the Skrulls try to find a home world. So they took that. They went to the place where Carol Danvers was married to the prince, and they took the water. And now they're coming to Earth to take the sun.
Right. So.
And now you've clicked off again.
Am I back?
Oh, you're back. You're back. Good.
Well, I think it's just this cable might not be ideal.
I think you're
so,
right.
So now there's a bunch of cameos.
Oh,
Got we've got the Valkyrie.
Yes.
She comes in real close.
She comes in and takes the Skrulls off of Carol Danvers' hands because they have to rescue a bunch of Skrulls from the land where they're taking all the air.
Right. So do you think that those Skrulls are the ones that come to Earth and then are part of the million Skrulls that are in Secret Invasion?
I don't think so.
You think it's after?
Well, you know what? I don't know.
Because this was delayed, remember, Captain Marvel?
It was delayed, right. But she has, so Valkyrie, she has access to all of the worlds. Because through the Rainbow Bridge.
Oh, right, yeah.
Which is how she gets them away. She takes them via the Rainbow Bridge, mm-hmm. and exit the Skrulls from the plot. But she could take them. I mean, if anybody can find them a place to live, it's somebody
the
who
Rainbow
has access
Bridge.
to all of the worlds via the Rainbow Bridge.
Right. Which is weird that New Asgard is in, I don't know, Greenland or wherever they are, because they could go to anywhere.
They could go anywhere.
Yeah, but they like Cable.
Right.
So it's
and they're honestly the gods of this world, so they're not going to go to other worlds.
Oh, that's true. Right. So yeah, so Valkyrie was pretty cool, and then
you didn't quite read. You were like, who is that? You know,
and you're like, I didn't recognize her. Her hair was different.
Her hair was different.
Thing.
She's not wearing any sort of. She was wearing
a
business suit.
Right.
Right.
No
she was
armor.
Wearing a business suit because that's what we saw her in Avengers 4.
Okay. In a business suit.
Or was it? I don't remember.
No,
where
I,
we saw
I think
we
it
saw
was Endgame.
Endgame. No. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
When Thor bugs
Thor?
Out. Potbelly Thor bugs out and leaves her in charge.
Right.
She is. And I think we see her again in Love and Thunder as well.
Okay.
Like running Asgard. And in a business suit there. That's where I think we see her in the business suit.
Right. She's gone native. Very much
right.
So. It's a,
but she's also, she also looks like, you know, she's a little bit older than she was. And so she doesn't quite look so baby-faced as she did in Ragnarok when we first saw
her. That's true. She did look super baby-faced.
Right. She doesn't look like that anymore.
No. So I didn't recognize her. What I did recognize was the Bifrost, the Rainbow Bridge.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I think that's Asgard.
Nice work with the name there, by the way.
Bifrost came out of nowhere. Who knew? Who knew it was in there?
You have some information.
I got some information now. Let's talk about when the sun is being sucked.
Yep.
Up into the worlds,
yep.
into the hexes. There's some sort of, is it the hammer? Is it hammer or is it sword?
Sword.
It's sword.
It's sword. It's strategic world something defense.
Defense. Sure.
Right.
And you just like shield is too many words.
Shield,
yeah.
Sword.
It's sword.
Yeah. It's sword. It's the space station that Nick Fury is building to protect the world from alien threats.
You know who we haven't seen in 7 movies probably is Coulson. I would love to see Coulson back. It's I don't know. Maybe that guy bought land.
He retired.
Yeah, he might have. Did he actually go to Tahiti?
I think he did. Yeah, I think he. I think in the last episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., I think he ends up retired on
Tahiti. With Ming?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, I think they're fully retired.
Fully retired
and good for them.
Yes, at some point.
Right. And they also split the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. universe off from the MCU too, because it was getting too complicated.
It was pretty complicated.
Which I want to talk about, by the way, by the end of this, because I have a theory about where the MCU is going, and ooh. I'm on board.
Let's say that I'm talking with Andy Ashcraft. If we were to have an ad, by the way, it would probably be right around now. Let's wait a couple of seconds and find out if it happens.
Ooh,
did it happen?
Did it happen?
If it did, don't forget to go to that website and see if it's something you wanted.
Right. That might be something that you were super interested in. We don't know.
You can't know.
You can't tell.
Well, actually, you'll know. I won't. Because I know I haven't sold an ad for this one particularly.
Tell us in the comments. Is there an ad?
Is there an ad? I'll tell you something. The Jackie and Laurie Show has a Hero Forge ad this week.
Oh,
and that's kind of exciting.
That's very exciting, because you can go and make superhero action figures or role-playing game action figures.
Figurines.
One-inch figurines for tabletop role-playing games.
Are they an inch?
Yeah, that's the scale.
That's the scale when you play
D&D? 6 feet is an inch.
Okay. So there's a dick joke there.
That's 172 scale, I think, is what it's called.
Okay. How about all of the eggs, the weird brain eggs showing up all over?
Right before the commercial break, I was about to tell you my big theory.
Oh, right. Oh, do you want to go there?
Yeah, I want to go there. Yeah, and then we'll talk more Easter eggs.
Okay.
Because it kind of leads to some more Easter egg stuff.
Okay.
So I think... There has been some talk on the internet about how the blip has kind of messed everything up. Like storytelling wise, it has now sort of pigeonholed them into all right, now we have to figure out where everybody was or what or wasn't during the blip and it makes it super complicated and if these people didn't blip, then why is the world the way it was? Where were they? What were they doing? You know, there's all these questions. And these questions come up all the time in the comic book. If you read a lot of Marvel comics, you also have all these questions. You're like, well, why didn't
why didn't he just come and help? Yeah, why didn't
DC has that? The same problem, right? Like, why didn't Superman just come and fix this? Right.
Right.
If they're in the same world, why is Gotham City the way it is?
Yeah. Why did this drama happen?
Right. Okay. Right. Superman could just fix this. What is going on? The Justice League can just fix this. The Avengers can just fix this. Whatever. So my thinking is that they are. They're basically breaking the MCU is now going to be the MC multiple universe, MCMU.
Oh, because of the Spider-Verse and all that?
Yeah, so Spider-Verse is going to split off. You know, the X-Men is going to be in its own universe. Fantastic Four may be in its own universe. And they can cross over whenever they want. Right?
Oh, right.
But they don't have to be all internally consistent. So the Fantastic Four can show up in a world that looks like Earth, but didn't have a blip.
What was the movie where, was that Black Panther?
Black Panther.
That had the Illuminati?
Yes. No, that was, what was that?
Was that Black Widow? No.
No, it was Scarlet Witch. It was Vision of Scarlet Witch.
Oh, it was the Doctor Strange.
No. Yeah, Scarlet Witch. It was the Dalek. It was the Multiverse of Madness.
That's it.
Right. So,
Doctor Strange.
Here's the
yeah.
thing. A superhero universe is basically our universe, but with superheroes.
Right.
Right. And so, you know, there's lots of extra questions about like, well, where do these superheroes come from? And blah, 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 blah. Right. But once you get a certain number of superheroes in the world for a certain amount of time doing all these world bending things.
Right.
Then you're like, well, why is the world still like our world? It shouldn't be like our world at all.
Right.
It should be totally different.
Right.
You know, and so we're starting to see that in the, like, we're starting to see them explore that, but it's also making it hard to write stories in that world that are traditional superhero stories, because that world is no longer looks really much like Earth.
Right. Yeah. Like, how could it?
Nations have changed. Like, the power dynamics of the world have changed. There's like, there's a giant hand reaching up out of the ocean someplace from the Eternals.
Oh, right.
Right.
Right. I forgot about the Eternals.
If they just explain that, like, oh no, these all happen in different,
in like, parallel.
There's some of these things are just happening in other universes.
Okay.
And it also makes it easier for them to bring in the X-Men, because the X-Men world is going to be very different from the, shouldn't, I mean, the, where, like, if the X-Men have been around during all of this, what the hell's going on with them? Right.
Right.
So clearly
they have
to be in their own world, and maybe the Fantastic Four are in their own world. The Fantastic Four are all about going and exploring other worlds anyway. So that makes it a perfect attachment to the,
right.
To, so, and we've already sort of exploring this with Spider-Man, the animated series, and we're exploring that already with What If.
Yep.
And we're exploring that with Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness. So
okay. Yeah,
it's going to
so
be
it's available. Yeah.
It's available. So what they're going to do is they're going to free up their writers to just write great stories and not have to worry about how this connects
how it all interacts.
All this history, this cruft of history, this imposing mountain of history that they have to like work out, like, well, why, what was happening during this bit?
Right. Cause Magneto can be in Nazi Germany in a parallel universe, and so can Captain America.
Yes.
So yeah. Okay. Right. That makes more sense.
So, and I think it's a good idea, and I think it's, you know, it's such a good idea,
like a
because,
idea.
Right, because then it, because what's already happening is people starting to feel like, oh, I can't go and watch this next Marvel movie because I haven't watched all of the other stuff beforehand, and there's like too much. It's just too much for people to feel. So they just it allows them to make a clean slate,
right?
While also keeping all the stuff that they want.
Yeah,
which
they
is
can
cool.
use all of it, which is what was kind of what comic books can do, right?
Right.
Yeah. Now,
although comic books don't, they try to keep all their continuity.
Right. What I did read was that they thought that this movie, The Marvels, negated Secret Invasion. And I don't think it did.
Well, we don't know. It's unclear the order that they're supposed to be in.
Right.
I think that Secret Invasion, now I'm trying to remember. I think there was a note at the beginning of Secret Invasion about when it's supposed to have happened.
Okay, because Fury knows about all of the scrolls that Valkyrie took, right?
Yes, right. And in Secret Invasion, there are scrolls that he does not know about. He's still dealing with, what's his name?
Talos.
Yeah, Talos, right.
Right.
And Talos's band of people, and he thinks it's a much smaller number that are actually there.
Right.
Right.
So who knows?
So what they
might
have done is just given the writers of future MCU stories a way of saying, well, yeah, we don't have to worry about Skrulls. There's not a million Skrulls living here. They've all been taken away by Valkyrie.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. Easily.
Right?
Easily.
They just fixed that problem.
Yeah. So I have two more topics. We're at 4 minutes.
Oh, we're doing great. Don't move your mic.
Because of the clicking?
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, Patrick. Okay, so, but I will say this. I'm talking with Andy Ashcraft. Andy
Hello.
Ashcraft, you should know. We're married. And
that's
then
Jackie
also,
Cation, my wife.
That's it. And I think you discontinued your podcast, but there are, what, 100 episodes?
76 or 77, I think, episodes of Ethics and Video Games.
Ethics and Video Games. And
with myself and Shlomo Scher. Shlomo Scher is the philosopher. I'm the game designer. And together it was murder.
And together it was Ethics and Video Games.
Ethics and Video Games. That's right.
Right. That's the podcast. You can take a deep dive into what's happening. So, Right. So I want to talk about the Flerken.
Right. Because that's awesome. I mean,
right.
It was a gag in the first movie.
Right.
And now it's a whole nother level.
It's a whole other level because Goose clearly had a litter.
Right. Goose and Goose has a litter of, and at the beginning we see them, they look like some sort of weird egg that looks kind of like brain things. It looks kind of like the thing that Buckaroo Banzai pulls out of the eighth dimension.
Yes, which a movie I just saw because of a previous Dork Forest. So, yes.
Right. It looks like something like that. And they start showing up all over the space station and causing havoc. And then they hatch.
And they are kittens.
They're kittens. They're flirting kittens. Come out they're of these flirking. Weird, fleshy eggs.
So weird. So adorable. So cute.
And they all can. And they're all very hungry.
And they all have octopus tentacles.
Yep, they all can open their mouths.
But they can store people in them. They don't eat them.
Yes. Right. And we saw that before.
With the Tesseract.
The Flerken was able to disgorge people as well as engorge them. And so it ends up being an important plot device because the Sword space station is under attack and it's about to fall apart on them due to other things going on in the movies, and so they just release the kittens on all of the people on the space station,
and then
take the kittens into the one last escape pod,
right? Because they could put 100 kittens into the escape pod, so they could fit all of the people on the space station in the bellies of tiny Flerken kittens.
That's right.
But as the Flerken kittens are running around the space station, I recognized the song, but I forgot where it was from.
Right. So it all goes into like this. The music swells and because it's just this. It's just chaos in the space station as these little kittens are running around grabbing people with their tentacles, and they start playing Memories from Cats,
from the musical Cats.
And I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed.
Right. And then you could hear underneath the music, you can hear a voice.
People screaming.
People screaming, but then a voiceover. And the voiceover is, let the Flerken eat you. Let the Flerken eat you.
It's going to be okay. Let the Flerken eat you. Do not run. Do not try to protect yourself. Let the Flerken eat you.
Yeah, it was something like that. It made
hilarious.
Me laugh.
Hilarious. It was it all was, hilarious.
It was so funny. And then, I guess, at the very end of it,
goofy. I mean, it's also super goofy because, why weren't the Flerken eating the heroes or Kamala Khan's family, who are also up on the space station? They're like, no, we need to. They're just eating the under fives.
Right. Yes, they were like, "Oh, we're gonna need the janitor, and we're gonna need."
Right. They're just eating the people who don't have other lines.
Right. It's almost like Goose is directing them. Right. So
and then they all get them. All, then they manage to herd them all on board, which doesn't make any sense either.
Because literally it's herding literally, cats. It's literally herding cats.
Right.
And I would say this is that.
And there's a very cute moment when they go into zero gravity with all the little kittens floating around.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's super cute, too. And then the other thing that made me laugh so hard is when they're in Louisiana with Ms. Marvel's family.
Yep.
And Ms. Marvel's mom is talking about what a great house it is.
Right.
And what a great place it would be to raise a family
for Kamala's brother,
for Kamala's Amir, and Kamala's brother Amir has a remote and he keeps trying to change the channel. He's just like, and all you hear is like a click, click, click.
See, that's why I think like the family stuff, you're like, you're not going to really get the dynamics. You'll get it, but I think you need to see
Ms. Marvel
more
was film. So good.
It is really, really
that
good.
That I actually recommend seeing it anyway. So,
right.
Just because, right. And if you don't know the history of how Pakistan and Bangladesh were created out of India after colonization, after the independence of that, after World War II, 1948, I think it was.
Something like that.
Might have been,
I don't remember.
And might have been later. Might have been earlier.
But
I forget.
It ends up being the history. They go back in time and go into the history of the partition, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
It was actually really cool.
Yeah, I loved it. And then there were stingers, right?
Right.
There's
at the very end, again, this is a spoiler episode. You know the
So
drill.
Spoiler.
So spoilery. Like Captain Marvel can go and reignite the sun.
Right.
Around the Kree homeworld. And she didn't think she could do it. She's never tried to do it. But when she goes and does it, it's like, that's no big deal. I can just do this. Which I thought was a little lame.
Oh, you thought that it should have been harder or a bigger deal?
It should have been a little bit more trouble for her. But it didn't feel like it was a challenge at all. She sort of thought it might have been a challenge, but then when she goes and just does it, and it's no challenge at all.
Well, do you know how in the comic books, you told me about this, I've never read them, where Rogue takes all of her powers?
Yes.
Do you think that might be the next movie?
It might be because now we're getting into the stingers.
Right. Because Captain Marvel is so powerful.
Right.
And much like Superman, you have to figure out how to depower her or reduce her powers for at least an act.
Or just keep her in space where it's all right for everything to be superpowered.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Where we're flying.
Where you need
in
someone
space,
to reignite the sun.
Exactly.
What do you think of the science of that is? Should I get Robert Hurd on here to talk about if that's possible?
Yeah, I think that's probably a good idea. I feel underdressed for weighing in on that.
When we have space questions here on the Dork Forest, we like to bring in an actual space person,
right?
An astrophysicist, that person is Robert Hurd.
Robert Hurd, my friend, and
from college,
he's been on the show three times now.
At least three times, you guys. Check out every episode of the Dork Forest with Robert Hurd.
A delight.
Is actually one of the best. I mean, I don't know. There's almost 1,000 episodes of the Dork Forest, and and I have to say that they're ones I remember. So
that's right. You can't remember all thousands. There's no way.
No, though when they come up, I'm like, oh yeah.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah. I did that. Yeah.
You just have to tell me the person or the dorkdom and I can usually get there. Okay.
Right. So stinger number one.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember what the order of them. I remember both
the stingers.
I don't remember the order, which is weird.
There was sort of a remember at the end.
There's
was it
two
at
stingers.
The end of Iron Man when Nick Fury goes and talks to Iron Man about being in the Avengers? Remember the stinger? He's just in the dark and he comes out and Tony Stark is like, what are you doing here? And he's like, well, and he leaves him the Avengers folder.
Okay.
Remember that from the very first Iron Man?
No, because that doesn't happen in the very first Iron Man.
Okay. Very possible. But
because the second Iron Man.
He goes and talks to the Hulk guy.
The second Iron Man starts with Iron Man getting declined for joining the Fury.
Well, doesn't,
Fury has said no, you can't join the Avengers.
So there's stingers where Fury is talking to Tony Stark.
Right. These are not Furies of the Marvels, by the way. We're thinking back to old stingers from other
Iron
movies.
Man. Right. And but in the stinger from the Marvels, there is Kamala Khan is sitting in the dark.
Right.
Like Fury.
Yes.
Or just reminded me of that. And then Kate Bishop from Hawkeye comes in. And by the way, it's almost Christmas, and we have to start watching Hawkeye again.
It's true.
It's a Christmas TV show.
It's
going to
be a Christmas TV show from now on.
Yep. And so Kate Bishop comes in, And Kamala Khan, I guess, it wants to talk to her about the Young Avengers, right?
She's gonna, yeah, she's putting together a team. Kamala Khan is she's our Marvel fangirl, and she's putting together a team.
Right? Why not?
And she's starting with Kate Bishop, and she's got the S.H.I.E.L.D. Dossier on Kate Bishop.
Yeah, she does, and she mentions, I think, Ant-Man's son, daughter.
Does she, Cassie?
Yeah. Yeah, she mentions Cassie.
Okay.
When she's talking to Kate Bishop, I think I read that on the internet, and then
I don't remember that from the but she,
from the stinger, but I believe she it was mentioned.
Okay.
So it would be her.
We've only
and Kate
seen it
Bishop.
Once. We'll see it again.
Oh, we'll see it again. And then it'd be great. Gargantua, was that her name?
No.
Ant-Man's
daughter was named her
Stature.
Stature, that's right.
Okay.
She was Stature when she grew, and then but later on she actually became a new wasp.
Oh, a new wasp, that's right.
And some of the other comics, later Ant-Man comics.
Right.
She was Stature when she was in the Young Avengers, though.
Right. And then Patriot, which is Isaiah's grandson.
Yep.
From Captain America.
Right.
Or Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Right, Falcon and Winter Soldier, the guy, the black Captain America that they go and visit, his grandson is
there. His grandson, who was just introduced briefly in that TV show.
Yep.
Yep.
And he's in the comics, he's one of them.
Right.
In the comics, the young army guy or the young Air Force guy that was the Falcon's handler.
Okay.
Is the new Falcon.
Oh. And what about Wiccan and Speed from WandaVision?
Wiccan and Speed from WandaVision.
Who are Scarlet Witch's sons.
Right. And then, it's from the comics. We don't know what's going on. But there was a Iron Lad.
Oh, Iron
who
Lad.
Was a kid,
oh, and
a
Riri.
Kid who, and Iron Lad was young Kang.
Young
he was
Kang
he
the
was
Conqueror.
The teenage king, teenage Kang.
That's right.
Right, and then Riri from the latest
Black Panther
movie. Yep.
Right,
Riri Williams.
Yep. Oh wow,
there's
that's
all
a big
kinds
team.
Of there's a yeah there's all kinds of opportunity here.
Yep, it could be anybody, and then so that was the first one I believe because the second one was
right.
where Monica Rambeau gets sucked into.
Right, right. So
she
in
has
the movie,
to fix...
she goes in between worlds and fixes the walls between the worlds and puts them back together with her photon powers,
mm-hmm.
and powered up by the other two, juiced up by the other two with the nega bands.
Oh, did she have the bands maybe at the end? No, I don't think she did.
No, I think it was Kamala Khan was just juicing her with the bands.
Okay, lighten her
up. Yeah. And then she was over there fixing the stuff, and then she makes the call that she has to stay on this side to make sure it's all closed. So she's on the far side of this, and she's in another multiverse, and then she wakes up in some sort of medical facility,
right?
And it turns out her doctor is Dr. Hank McCoy, the Beast from the X-Men,
and sitting right next to her is her mother,
right?
And her mother doesn't know her. So no. It's an alternate universe where her mother...
And her mother stands up. And her mother is in the costume of Binary. And Binary was the character that Carol Danvers was when she was running around in the late 80s with the X-Men in the great Chris Claremont X-Men in Space run, where they were running around in space doing stuff. And she and Carol Danvers was calling herself Binary at that point.
Okay. Wow.
And so that was the costume. So it looks to me like, because they had made reference to, what if
Monica's
mom,
whose name I'm spacing.
Yeah. Mrs.
right.
Rambeau. What if Mama Rambeau had beat Carol Danvers to the hangar that day and had therefore become the pilot of the fated test flight that ended up creating Carol Danvers giving Carol Danvers the Captain Marvel powers.
Mm-hmm.
If it had been her mom, If it had been the mom instead, if it had been her best friend who won that race to the hangar,
she would have been the one who got to fly,
right?
And with Annette Bening,
right,
in the first movie,
and therefore gotten the powers, and so that may be the X-Men universe that we see,
right? Maria Rambeau, that's it.
Maria Rambeau, that's it.
Found it.
Good work. And thank you, Internet.
Thank you, Internet. So, yeah, that's the second stinger.
And so that was cool, too, because it's like, oh, that's a great idea.
What's the next movie that's coming out? Do we know?
Oh, yeah, I don't know.
Okay, we haven't yet
watched the end of Loki.
Right. We have two more episodes of Loki, and I hear that they're great.
Yeah, I've heard that they're great as well, and I have not. I'm looking forward to them. This season of Loki is much better than the first season of Loki, which I was only okay about.
Well, I think they had to set so much up. They set so much up.
Yes, and it was just.
But this
it,
is so it, good, it was, though.
Yeah,
the
this
second
is really
season,
good. This, yeah. The first season I felt was a little spotty in pacing and tone, which is not set up stuff. You can
right.
It's just story and editing.
Right.
This one is going much more interestingly.
Yes.
And the pacing is spot on.
Right.
Like the pacing of each episode is great.
It's so good. And so I don't know what the next movie is.
No.
But
let me see. MCU next film, or let me see, timeline.
Yeah, I'm going to let you look up, even though it's still it's a little buzzy.
This is, we're talking about Phase 5. It began with Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania. Oh, here we go. Captain America, New World Order.
Oh.
So it's
that makes
be...
perfect. So it's not another season of Captain America and the Winter Soldier. It'll be a movie.
Yeah, it'll be a movie. And then the Thunderbolts.
Oh, and then a Thunderbolts?
But it looks like, yeah, then Thunderbolts in July, which is I'm very excited about.
Anything about, I mean, you're, read the Thunderbolts.
Quit moving your mic.
Okay.
Yeah.
well, we're almost at an hour.
And then Blade.
Oh, right.
Deadpool 3.
Is out before all of them, isn't it?
And then Fantastic Four.
Oh, wow.
So I wonder, this information might be old. Oh, no, this is not. Well, yeah, this is kind of old. So this may be, the timeline may have shifted. Let me see if I can find a more.
I'm going to let people look it up, Andy.
Oh, okay. Well, that's.
Because we're at an hour.
Right, right, right.
As much as I love the Marvel Universe. Well, and the Dark Forest and the Rangers of the Dark Forest.
I want to just keep talking about it.
Well, much like the episode with any number of people who talked about wrestling. And
there's new What If coming, by the way, in the end of December, I think.
Oh, really? Animated What If?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Which is awesome.
That is awesome. Because that means Peggy Carter, maybe. Really looking forward to more Peggy Carter, please.
Yeah.
All right. Wow. I'm going to say something I rarely say at the end of the Dork Forest.
Hmm.
I love you.
Oh, and I love you. But we're not. Do we love our audience as well? We do, but in a different way.
In a different way. But Rangers, you know the rules out there. Take care of each other.
My hat, my hat, my hat. They're dancing around my hat. My hat, my hat, my hat. Well, what do you think of that? If it looks like a Mexican hat dance and it sounds like a Mexican hat dance, it's most likely a Mexican hat dance. So take off your hat and let's dance.
Yay! Oh my God. Why don't we just call that as the end of the show?